your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about, to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. My guest tonight is author Pamela Kenny, and she's got a subject that you're going to take a pretty good interest in. We're going to talk about her latest book, but let me fill you in on her before we do that. She gave Ignoring Voices in Her Head and now writes award-winning, best-selling horror, fantasy, science fiction, poetry, and nonfiction books. And tonight we're going to be talking to her about her latest book that leans towards cryptozoology rather than things that go bump in the night. And it's called Werewolves, Dogmen, and Other Shapeshifters Stalking North America. Now, you in the chat room, as always, you know that you can ask questions or share comments with Pamela during the show. And those who aren't in the chat room but are listening to the show live, you can join us at paraxradionetwork.com. So we have a lot of creatures to go through. So, Pamela, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you wrote a good book, and I had to have you on. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, there's a lot of people that have a question about shapeshifters. What is your definition of a shapeshifter?
Anything that can cause maybe a person to change shape or an animal to change shape. It doesn't have to be necessarily the old-fashioned way of, the full moon, supposedly, though that's debatable in history with werewolves anyway. The full moon had to do it, but it could be, or a bite, which is not true in any except in the movies. But it can be like the Wendigo takes over somebody and changes them completely. They start becoming cannibalistic, and they become so cannibalistic they become like the Wendigo, which is very odd looking with the deer horns and stuff that you hear about. Otterman, people become that slowly but surely become the Kukushtika. So that's that. And then there's the Skinwalker, Witch of Witches. Same thing with the owl witches. They use magic, so they're not real true werewolf types, but, you know, they shift their shapes by using, you know, magic to be that way.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could figure that out, but maybe one of these days I will. So in what way are North America being stalked by shapeshifters?
Gosh, there's just a lot of it. A lot of it's indigenous, which mm-hmm. is interesting. Because I have, believe it or not, Sioux in me, in my ancestry. So mm-hmm. learning about, you know, I figured there would be some Native Americans, but there's a lot of it. And then, of course, there's regular stuff, werewolves and dogmen, which people have seen, you know, like same thing as Sasquatch. And dogmen look like, I hate to say it, werewolves or wolfmen anyway, because same thing, shape and you know, the whole thing. So you have a lot of that. And actually, let's point out, today was shared on actually a couple of TV stations and news places. The mysterious figure caught by the zoo's camera outside of their fence in Texas. Yeah. Is that a coyote on its hind legs? Is that a chupacabra? So I downloaded the picture. I took, you know, on my hard drive, figure, because you can't bring it closer. And that's what I do with my ghost books or ghost pictures, mm-hmm. even when I'm investigation now, because ghosts aren't going to come up in front and say, here I am, take a picture of me right here. You know, they yeah. might be in the background and stuff. So you have to kind of look for figures and figure out what's what. So I looked at it, and I'm getting real close as I could with you can see whatever the camera shows in the dark. Mm-hmm. And you can see a wolfish or coyote-like head on it. And the rest of it looks pretty human to me, a skinny human figure. And I'm thinking it's probably somebody that lives out there and knows the skinwalker stuff, because Texas is near New Mexico and all Arizona, all that area. And a lot of them will believe in that stuff, but they also hear about it. And so they know that the stories of skinwalkers, and it's in my book, some of them, when they're looking human, they actually wear skins like a coyotes or animals on their head. You know, mm-hmm. I guess kind of helping them to start shifting maybe as part of it. In fact, in the Navajo lore, Navajos do not believe in wearing skin, except maybe something like sheep or you know, something like that, cattle, nothing with any fur on it because of all of this. So, and feathers. So, I'm thinking somebody's cosplaying a skinwalker.
And I'm thinking, yeah, probably, but you never know, right?
You never know. It could be, but it could be also, like I said, someone knows the story and they know there's a camera there pointing out from the zoo. Maybe they thought that would be cool to freak them out. I don't know. I mean, that's just my theory. I could be wrong. Maybe it really is a skinwalker, but they, you know, it wasn't a coyote on its hind legs, but it was pretty human looking in the bottom to me. And it definitely wasn't a chupacabra, because if the description of those, you know, it looked like coyotes with a lot of mange, and they wouldn't be on their hind legs anyway, or look like monkeys and other, you know, out in the Caribbean area. So that's what it looked like. Like when you would see a skinwalker in the stories where they're human still, and they wear the skins of an animal on them and that. So, See that, but a skinwalker, no. Yeah. And why would they do it outside of a zoo anyway? I mean, if you think about all the places they could do it if they wanted to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. So all cultures have their own shape-shifting lore, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I think I've read about what the Japanese and some other things, but I imagine
it goes back as far as Greece and all that. I mean, Greeks, Romans, the two boys that suckled on the wolf. And actually in Greece, when King Lobos gave Zeus a body of his kid, mm-hmm. he ate the flesh, and Zeus mm-hmm. found out and he cursed him. That mm-hmm. became the first werewolf, technically, I guess, at least. Technically, I guess, at least European-wise. Mm-hmm. And there's been stories in books and even in the Bible. I mean, St. Christopher said, have a dog head been described. There's dog-headed men seen in different aisles and stuff. You see that in the Greek stories and stuff. So,
wasn't there something, I don't know if it was in the Bible, but it was some kind of Christian working that said that Jesus was preaching to dog men? Or something like that.
I know that St. Christopher also had a dog head. So I have no idea. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's possible. I don't know.
Well, it's just interesting that something like that seems so foreign, you know, that can't happen because we're all, you know, here we go. Oh, no, that's all phony or whatever. But when something goes back to ancient times, I mean, where would that have started? You know, I mean... That's a rhetorical question. But if people have that sightings from ancient times, there's got to be something to it.
Maybe. And they're all over the world in places that nobody actually, we for a long time weren't meeting each other at one point. So there's actually werewolves in more than just Europe, but there's mm-hmm. also other shape-shifting animals that people become. And mm-hmm. it makes you wonder, I mean, kind of, there's just all sorts, and not everybody's been together to trade stories. Like we now can, people travel now by plane, they have the internet, so everybody can push stories out like crazy. But back then, I mean, you know, you're stuck in a little village. You're lucky to get to the nearby market at some big town to deliver goods and then come back. That's about it. Maybe once a year.
So, I mean, that's the mystery of it all. Got a chat room question. Would doppelgangers be considered shapeshifters? Or is it a type of crypto or and corporate? I can never say that word, corporeal.
It's connected to ghosts is what I know. So, and is it a shapeshifter? I don't know. I mean, it, maybe technically it could be as a ghost-wise, but that's a good question because it usually takes the form of someone that's real living. And actually that happened, and that's in my Virginia Haunted Historic Triangle, the second edition. I was at a convention and as a guest, and they had it for a few years at a hotel in Waynesburg called Fort Magruder. And the head of the housekeeping, you know, they had a lot of ghostly sightings there. It's you know, they had the Civil War happen there, and a lot of bodies they found buried on their land and stuff like that. So she had a told me a lot of stories, and she said one of them was her housekeeper, and she thought she saw her up. She thought she saw her downstairs, but when she went upstairs, her housekeeper was upstairs doing a room. And the housekeeper said, no, I haven't been down, already done down there. I'm up here. How did she saw a doppelganger? It looked just like the maid to the tea. Why? I don't know. I've heard other stories, too. So I have never encountered a doppelganger at any investigation, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know, if somebody sees one, you can't wrap your head around it, especially if you see the other person, you know, within proximity. It's like, whoa. So, and I often wonder, why do doppelgangers do that? You know, why do they want to look like somebody else?
I'd known thought about that. I forgotten about that. That would have been interesting to put in the book because it's true. Ghosts in these haunted areas, you'll see sometimes people that look like the living, but they're not there. They're somewhere else. And then they see this other person who ignored them. They go there and find out the real person was somewhere else all the time in another part of the building. And it's kind of weird.
It would even be worse. I don't know if doppelgangers do this or not, because I really don't know a whole lot about them. But I wonder if they take on the shape of someone that's deceased. That would be horrible. You know, here you know somebody is gone, and all of a sudden they're knocking on your door. That would be horrible.
I hope not. If someone's going to visit me, it better be my parents, not or friend, not somebody I don't know. That's funny to see them.
That too. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know, when we're talking about dogmen and wolfmen, I mean, those two types of shapeshifters are quite dangerous, but are all shapeshifters kind of bloodthirsty killers? No, I don't think so, right?
Not even all werewolf stories are dangerous, and not dogmen. There's probably very few. Actually, most of them really haven't, from what I've found in sightings, haven't really done anything to people, so
they just hang out,
dangerous or not. I mean, it's like any, if it's an intelligent animal, must be, it's walking on its hind legs, I would think, and it has hands where the paws would be. So that says, like a wolfman, that's got to be almost intelligent to be forming like that. I'm thinking it most of the time, it probably would avoid us. It just happens to come across at that point. And I don't really think they're as dangerous. It's not, you know, it's like anything else. You hear Sasquatch stories a couple of times. They're bad stories, but a lot of them times they don't bother you. So it's like any animal, you know. You take a chance when you're counting something anyway that might be scaring them or freaking them out. Like going, you don't go up to a bear and say, hi there, bear, you know, because it's going to punch you out, you know, real good. So.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting in the book to find out that there are seven types of dogmen. Where did those classifications come from? From reported sightings or what?
An investigator.
I mean,
dog mess.
Yeah. My book. Yeah, you can look it up because I don't have the book handy either.
I have it on hand. I just got to find that section.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, though, it sounds like dogmen sightings are more prevalent than wolfmen because I don't know how they shapeshift from what to what, but, you know, wolfmen can only do it on the full moon, can't they? Or maybe there's some more.
There's many stories. They even could do it every day if they want to. I mean, it depends on where the country they're from and what you believe in. The biting is actually more current, like movies and stuff like that. The wolf doesn't bite you and you become a werewolf man. And so that's a case of something else. A lot of time, actually, in European history, a lot of them took a wolf skin belt and they chanted something to become a wolf at certain times in that, or worse, a wolf cape or something like that. So that was probably the most prevalent way a lot of them did it. Dogman, nobody's ever seen any shape shifting. So we don't know for sure. I mean, they hear it, we see them, and then they're gone. Whether it's because they are wolfmen, werewolves, and they're returning, or maybe my weirdest theory is, and maybe it's because I write fiction and I think, oh, that sounds like a cool idea anyway. Maybe it's another dimension. That's why we suddenly see Sasquatch or suddenly see dogmen and they go after and they can't find them anywhere. But, you know, where did they disappear to?
I've heard a lot of that. You know, they were time travelers or they've come from another dimension and they pop in and they pop out. And that's why you can't find any corpses or burials or whatever, because they're just, you know, popping in and for whatever reason and then going right out.
They could be an alternate universe. I mean, we don't know. There's lots of dimensions. We are third dimension, so there's so different types. So what is another dimension? What is another alternate world? We don't know. It's theories with a lot of physicists and stuff, too. So that's just an idea. I mean, to me, it sounds like a cool idea for a fiction story.
Well, yeah. It does.
But it could be possibly true because that's pretty scientific. So who knows? Until we can prove something or get one or get them to tell us somehow, maybe. Who knows? That's the only way we're going to probably know is all the sightings or stories we get and stuff. So,
in other words, don't hold our breath, right?
Right.
Because it probably isn't going to be that soon. A couple more questions from the chat room. One question is, are cryptids that shape-shift? Wait a minute. Are cryptids that shapeshift egregores? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Probably the word. I should know it, but can you tell me what do they know what egregore means?
Well, I know right off the top of my head, and I just drew a blank.
Carnivore, which obviously dogmen do eat.
Yeah, no.
Carrying sheep, but.
Yeah. Sherry, just get the egregore description because I just went blank on it and I know it, but duh.
I would go on my computer right now, but getting off, I'm not very good at that.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll ask you the other question now then. Are the stories mostly sightings or are there interactions and communications with these shapeshifters?
It depends. The sightings are dogmen. Mostly are. They probably had interaction. I mean, if they're coming across or somebody's got a deer, like one of them was taking a deer back that they had been killed and they felt something in the back of their truck shaking and they went back there. And of course they found the deer gone because the dogman came on there and took it. So he had saw it in the mirror that was in. So it took the deer. So I guess that's a sort of interaction. They don't come up and say, you know, hi there, you know, like that. But
so there are reported sightings and some kind of communication.
There also is wasn't a dog man as much as a cat man, you might call it. It was actually on one of the Travel Channel shows. I added some of that in here. And I found it somewhere to write and doing readings where the guy had come driving home and he had gotten out of the car. He was in the woods area. and something he thought was a looked like a panther, okay, at the time, or a cat, but it jumped on him, and it knocked him down, and he looked at it, and it was a cat, because it had a cat tail, and it was snarling at him, and then it ran away when someone's car stopped, I guess scared it off, and they watched it, and the person saw it, and he saw it, it ran away on hind legs, and it wasn't a dog man, because it had a cat's tail at the end, like black cat, panther-like. So there's been that sightings in America too. So more than just dogman, there's a panther man, cat man, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and in the book, I mean, you have the stories and you have the dates, and some of them are old, but some of them are in the 1970s. There's a couple from, I think, 2005. So these sightings are going on.
Dogman.
Sorry?
Some go back to the 1930s and much earlier with the dogman.
Yeah, but we have them. We still have sightings and encounters to this day. So I don't think it's kind of like something that's going to go away anytime. Oh. And, you know, maybe at some point we'll get to know more about that, you know.
Well, where I live out here, there's something. And I termed the name Henrico Werewolf because that's all you would think about back then. This was before the stories of dogmen you hear about. And it's been seen in a certain area in Henrico, two places. And, of course, nobody ever sees it shape-shift, but they came see something. One time someone saw something that almost reminded me of the description of the Harry Potter movie with the werewolf that didn't look like a werewolf.
Yeah, he had the male form, yeah, pretty
he
much.
He was more white-ish and everything. That's what these look like in description. And freaked the guy and his girlfriend out. And then there's been other sightings over the years. And I termed it Henrico Werewolf. I thought, what the heck, what am I going to call it in this chapter in my ghost book? And later on, I saw, actually, Linda Godfrey picked it up. So that was kind of interesting in one of her books. So I thought, well, she picked up my term. But it's been seen. It might be a dog man. I mean, there's nobody ever sees any shift. So anyway, with a lot of these werewolf stories, and they may say werewolf, like in Dismal Swamp. There was one in 1800s. I put it in the werewolves because that's what they called it. They didn't know about dogmen back then. Mm-hmm. And they had sightings that looked like a monster wolf on its hind legs, right? Might have been a dogman. I mean, I think they're interchangeable in a way, but I separated them enough to give people their stories differently because some call them definitely werewolves or some, and some did have shape-shifting stories in it. But the dog man, there's no possibility. So some of them in the werewolf could be dog men, but it still has the term. So I kind of kept them that way for people to figure out what they want to do, how they want to term it in the long run.
Yeah. All right. I've got the shape-shifting thing. Egregores are thought forms, like Slender Man. So she was asking if cryptids take the form of thought forms.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either, but I think, yeah. I mean,
and I thought about that dog man. Let's see, wait a minute. Doesn't say who did it. All I know is when I found it. Seven types of dogmen. Type 3, variant 1, tall and lean with a baboon head. I kind of thought, I put in parentheses, devil monkeys. Because yeah. There is something called devil monkeys here, I've seen in the South. And in my ghost books. Type 3, variant 2, hominid body head like a chow's. Okay, I can see why they would say a short snout with a chow, because it's more. Type 3, variant 3, Sasquatch with a muzzle. I didn't know there was one with a muzzle. Canine variant 1, like a standing timber wolf. Okay, that's what we see mostly. Canine variant 2, hyena-like.
Okay.
Canine variant 3, large, strong-bodied, pointed ears. Well, it's canine 3 and 1 could be the same, really.
Sure.
Because if you're thinking it's like a werewolf anyway, it's, and the picture you sent in my thing, was kind of what I think. It hit me when they say that, that dogmen is because they have shorter snouts. Well, I said, no, timber wolves have the same long length of snout, because the picture, the one I have in there, is from our local zoo. He's a timber wolf male. Mm-hmm. A Siberian husky had the same length of snout, and huskies are actually more directly close to the wolf than many of the dogs. That's how they work with the huskies. And so to me, they have the same length snout, unless you're, they were counting like dogs like a Doberman with a or a Chow with a snout more in that size. Yeah. But they wouldn't have pointed ears then. I mean, pointed ear dogs just have longer snout. So, and as for werewolves, but yours looked perfect for the idea of it being somebody shifting from a human. Because you can see the human features in that face.
I know, it was a really neat picture. I was glad to grab it.
So if people are seeing that, maybe they are seeing a shapeshifter, because if it has a human-like face, at least it's like us, maybe it's evolving. Maybe it is from another dimension, another world, and it's changing shape. And I mean, we once looked like little tiny apes and got taller, so, and our face has changed. Maybe that's a change, too. I don't know. I mean, there's so many possibilities if you want to think about it.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And that's the fiction writer. I mean, I have all of these ideas that are percolating in my head all the time anyway for that.
That's always a good thing. there's another question. What are your views, if you have any, on the Hopkinsville goblins? Are they a species, or could they also be shapeshifters?
It's not in my book, so I couldn't tell you for sure. But if it's called a goblin, I would think they would think it more like a
elemental, a something.
But fairies can shift shapes too. That's called what's the word when fairies do that? Glamour. That's how cool people, the glamour. So yeah, the way they shapeshift in a way using glamour again.
All right. Now, we've got like 3 minutes before the break, but there are a lot of tales in the book, and I'd like to talk about the tale of the Baroness who drank from a spring in Germany that caused her to become a werewolf, because that's kind of a twofold story, because most people think that werewolves are created by a bite, and she got it from drinking in a stream. But the other part of it was, then you mentioned that Hitler urged those who he referred to as his little werewolves, or Gestapo, to drink from that same stream.
Yes, they actually know it's in Harz Mountains in Germany. That's actually, I knew that for years, way before I even read that again, that the story is that she had stopped and she was thirsty and there was a paw print, there was water, so she drank it, which was probably a big mistake. And a paw print, supposedly, if you drink, that's a way to become a werewolf. That's another way to become a werewolf in the old European legends. If you drink from a paw print of a wolf and there's water in it, you can become a werewolf. And she did, I guess. And of course, if that's the one I think she is, she also, her husband ended up, was the one that chopped off her hand or something, arm, and he found her ring, and she changed human, and it was her without a hand. Didn't, of course, it didn't, you know, unlike the werewolf movies we see where they, you chop off their hand and the animal, because they're a werewolf, they can shift back to another arm out. She didn't. When she became human, that's, she had no arm. So, yeah, I remember that. And, of course, Hitler used that. He actually believed in a lot of that stuff anyway. He believed in a lot of occult stuff he was doing. So I can see him wanting to do that to make him more vicious, because
he believed that the water had power then.
Yeah, had powers.
And do you think people are still going to that spring or wherever?
I don't think they do that now. They probably don't believe that now, but there might be.
Would they know what spring it was, you know, in lore? You know, maybe.
He must have found it. I don't know how he did, if there was more to the story when he learned about it than what we know now. Over the years, you get the books and story changes, and it's like any story. You hear a story over the years, they change. Maybe back then he knew better. I don't know. Maybe he knew somebody that said they knew some. I don't know. And maybe they told him a story. It wasn't the right one, and it wasn't, but.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. So we're going to gallop out of here for a minute or two. And when we come back, we'll be exploring some more shape-shifting stories in North America and some other stuff. So stay with us, and we will be right back.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight. On the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
It's that time of year again, me pagan and witchy folks. The time for Witches Fest USA, a pagan fair where we all gather dressed as all the magical folks we love, like fays, elves, sprites, and more. With magical vendors, enchanting performers, and magical presenters of all kinds, paths, and traditions. After the opening ceremony on July the 14th, the fair runs from July 15th to the 17th, and on Saturday, July 16th, you can come in person and spend the day on Astor Place in New York City and enjoy free workshops, vendors, presenters, a DJ, and live performances. Friday and Sunday will be live streaming online on the world stage for all to participate. There are over 95 occult workshops to choose from in real time or view them on demand at your convenience. For information and registration, go to www.witchesfestusa.org. That's www.witchesfestusa.org. Get caught up in the magic and enjoy.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is Pamela Kinney, and we're talking about her book, Werewolves, Dogmen, and Other Types of Shapeshifters Stalking North America. Now, sometimes I was reading about how some shapeshifters are created in the minds in their own minds as lycanthropy. Jeez, today I'm not using my mouth very well. And I was curious about that because that was, you know, people means that they think that they're wolves and they're not. And they're not shapeshifters. They just, you know, a little bit not with us. So I was curious and I got in touch with a good friend of mine who happens to be a psychiatrist. And I asked him if he ever saw a patient with that diagnosis. And he said it's an extremely rare malady, and most psychiatrists will never, ever see a case of it. But he did mention that when he was in residency in the psychiatric ER, there was a woman who stopped taking her drugs, and she believed that she was a horse, and she was, you know, galloping around the ER. So, you know, it's funny that disease people would think that they were wolves and they could, you know, bite somebody. I don't know. You know, it was just kind of interesting to find out if that was something that was more prevalent, because there are people that walk around and say that they're vampires and believe they are. And
they actually drink blood. I read that book about there's the real thing. That's supposedly a real thing. It's a blood exchange. I thought that was odd. I wouldn't, but.
Well, no, especially with all the medical things that are going on. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we had somebody, and I know Cece in chat room will remember, that we had a couple of werewolves that said they were on the show, and Cece, if you remember anything about it, type it in chat, because I just kind of remember that they were werewolves. They wanted to be werewolves, or maybe, you know, maybe they were. And while you're writing that, there's something else. You know, my guest last week was a psychic medium, and he touched briefly on shapeshifters, saying that he actually had seen some and had some encounters with them, although they tried their best to get away from psychics. But when he said when he had the encounter more than once, it was in an airport. And this one time, this was a man who was a host for a local airline. And he says that they have taken on human form. And when shapeshifters notice that they're being looked at or recognized, they'll drop everything and just run. And this particular one dropped his walkie-talkie and pegboard, and he skedaddled out of there really quickly. And this psychic says he's had a few encounters like that on subway trains and stuff. He said that he can feel their presence among us. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. Well, you know, talk about shapeshifters. It doesn't have to be like werewolves or dogmen, or that could be the skinwalkers. I mean, they're obviously an interesting shapeshift. They don't just shift in one type of shapeshift either. And mm-hmm. then somebody's like that, there's got to be other witches like that, like the owl witches. There's got to be people. There's good witches, but then these are supposedly more, a lot of them are more dark. Skinwalker is definitely dark, really, really dark. That's why they have to, if you have being attacked by one, they get help from a shaman, which is like a local white witch, to get help against them. And I can imagine if any of those were hanging around and didn't want to be, you know.
I wonder if sometimes animals turn human rather, most of the time we're talking about humans that are turning into animals, like animagus. But I just wonder, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, this is fiction, but in the Harry Potter series, there was a character who was a rat, but he wasn't really. He was you know, disguised as a rat, and he was spying on everybody and stuff. I wonder why some people would really like to shapeshift into an animal or something. It's nice to be invisible. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But why an animal? Because you're kind of setting yourself up for trouble, maybe. If you're caught, somebody will shoot you if you're in the wrong place. Yes. I don't know.
No, I don't think I want to be I have to watch my cat and keep her in the house as it is. I wouldn't want to be her and stuck outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen too many animals laying dead on the street and stuff. So, yeah, you're right. And there's other animals that will attack them, too. But talking about opposite way, there was a fiction story I read years ago. And it was really cleverly done on a werewolf side, but it was from the wolf. A wolf one day woke up. He was a man, naked man, and he was with his pen at the zoo. It was in London. And he was puzzled. He couldn't understand the other ones. He knew his mate was there and everything else. He just didn't understand. And ended up, he had to get out of there, and he kind of learned, I guess, to get close and that, but he ended up in a hospital. And he actually attacked the nurse because he was coming that time of the year. He's a male, okay, and mating season. And she, well, that was logical. I mean, as an animal, he didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. Human shape, and ended up, he finally started reading books on werewolves and stuff, because trying to figure out how he could get back to being a wolf. He didn't want to be a human anymore. And he finally found the way, and he got back to the zoo, and they put him back in. They thought, what happened to him? And he said later on, the woman, he recognized her, was the nurse, and she had a carriage, baby in it, and she was staring down at the wolf like she knew. And he looked at the boy, because he remembered all the books he read. He says, oh, he felt sorry for his son, because he figured he was going to become a werewolf because of what happened to him being a real wolf, but transferred into a human at that time. Mm. But that was a clever fantasy story, too.
Mm-hmm. So, it would be.
So that makes you think about that, too. And sometimes the fox maidens, sometimes they say they're even more animal than they were the opposite when they came and so...
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. Okay, so here's the lowdown. on the werewolves. because, okay, so they said they did have a pack mentality, and they would pounce on you if you questioned one of them. And then it was a whole pack of those who said they were werewolves when the site was being upgraded once. And I kind of remember that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were offering their technical support for the station. So I don't know what happened to them. But
are they real werewolves, or are they the ones that think they are?
Well, they if they think they are, then they are to them. But, yeah. No, I mean, you know, I don't know, because I don't know if anybody, I mean, there are a couple of people here that remember that, but I don't know that we saw them.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. So, I don't know.
We know there's two medical conditions. We know about the lycanthropes, because that's an actual medical condition where they think they are.
Yeah.
Kind of animal. And mm-hmm. then there's also those that are born with the hair problem.
Yeah.
I remember years ago seeing they had, it was in Tijuana, because I lived in California, and in the paper, a baby was born, and it looked kind of like it had hair all over. It looked like almost like the Wolfman from the Wolfman movie. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I can imagine if anybody was born like that back in the old days, primitive people, oh my gosh, it must be a werewolf, you know, if the poor kid can't help it, or, you know, their hair is just that way.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It was in a book of anomalies, you know, different people, what they had. Some had three legs and whatever, and they called this the dog-faced boy.
Well, they actually have a term for it, a medical term. I mean, they're...
Yeah, hirsutism or something like that. I don't, yeah.
So yeah, that's another term people could probably almost think, if in some places probably thought they were werewolves too. So that's another way of saying it too. So.
Mm. Okay, and I just found out that our werewolves were lycanthropic. They didn't believe they changed shapes, but had the personality of a wolf or a panther, as she recalls.
Right.
I just know that they... weren't on good terms after a while. That's all I seem to remember. Let me think. I knew there was another question there. There was a mythology of two bears. They wanted to become human. Just drink water in the cave for 100 years. One failed and one succeeded. Do you know that story?
No, I don't think I have that in my thing. So, but the bear is pretty logically a lot to do with Norse mythology. The people that would be particularly vicious type warriors either had the spirit of a wolf with them, or even been considered werewolves or werebears by people that had been attacked by Vikings. And actually, there was a movie on HBO Max that had that. It was the Northmen, because the guy that it was the son of the king that had been killed by his brother, and the boy escaped. When he grew up, he was actually doing that, and when they attacked, he was like, they howled like a wolf and wore wolf heads on them, or and growled, and they attacked at people like that, and even bit people.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably logically what happened. And so a lot of times, I think a lot of countries that were attacked by the Vikings like this, by these warriors, I can imagine they thought of them as werewolves in so many ways. I mean, wearing a wolf skin and then or bear skin and then attacking and even biting at this point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the two bears and all that stuff, it's pretty logically that would be an interesting story to happening. But I can imagine, yeah, that... Werebears is another thing in Europe, at least in Northern Europe anyway.
Yeah, I've heard of them too. I guess there's probably a were something of every type of animal, except maybe insects. I mean, I don't see any use for that. but, you know, okay, so, I mean, I didn't read the werewolves and witches chapter, but, you know, of course people always relate witches and the devil. But I didn't know about witches and werewolves. Can fill me in?
Sometimes witches were thought to anyway shapeshift.
Mm-hmm.
So that was back, even back with those times, even. Not mm-hmm. just now.
Yeah.
And they some thought they became wolves and stuff like that. Also, werewolves were burned at the stake too. If they were caught, they were convicted of being a werewolf, not just a witch. They were burned at the stake too. So they were actually burned same time as the witches were in Europe. Yeah, but they even said witches. I mean, at this point, some of them anyway shifted shape. So they say, well, maybe they're both of them. So.
Yeah, well, we've been associated with lots of things, devils and all kinds of stuff. So why not werewolves, you know? And a lot of people think, again, going back to media and everything, that witches are animagus, that they're shapeshifters, and they always shapeshift into animals. And I wish I knew a witch that really could. I really do. Then I try and find out how to do it, and that's one way to get away from the crowd sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing. I'd like to hear more about werewolves from outer space.
Okay.
Because that's something I never thought of. I mean, okay, if one believes that there are other galaxies and other beings out there, you know, we talk about the gray aliens, we talk about the lizards, I mean, but I they might not be werewolves, that might just be what they look like, you know, that they maybe aren't shapeshifters.
Well, dogmen, if you think about it, where do they go, and who knows? Well, there is that title in one of my stories on the werewolves, Werewolves from Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gentleman who said he had been in contact physically, psychically with a werewolf-like aliens until they turned their attention his same way. And his exclamation to the author of The Real Wolfman, that was Linda Goffrey, exposed that our planet went through several geographical epochs, and during one of these times, intelligent wolf-headed aliens had landed here. They are hiding, biding their time, waiting till our species destroys itself so they can take over the Earth.
Mm.
The way we're going, it might not be very long.
I could not believe that they would be shapeshifters. You know, I mean, they might look like wolves, or you know, they might be a species all their own, but I don't know why they would want to transform. I think maybe werewolves and the way shapeshifting goes, maybe it's just something that we think about, and nobody else really has to, or maybe it's second nature. I don't know. Kind of weird.
That they did resemble Anubis. That's another thing a lot of people say about the dogman. Well, so does Wolfman, if you think about it. And,
yeah.
Oh, he's a jackal. And that their fur contains symbiotic bioluminescent bacteria, okay, giving a shimmering look to their coats when they move. He said the fur also gave off an unpleasant odor from the bacteria, which released a hydrogen sulfate gas product.
Oh.
That's what it said. So
that's rude.
Also have a warrior cast that wear bio armor beneath the fur, and this explains their bullet tolerance. Travel mode is portals resembling cones of darkness so they can escape capture by humans. So maybe like dogmen into another dimension, but I don't think they had things underneath their fur. But
well, you never know. I mean, see, cryptozoology is fascinating in that there are a lot of stories, there are a lot of interest, and people are, you know, claim to see or have encounters and stuff. I don't think, honest to God, if a werewolf or a dogman could get our language and walk up to somebody and say, you know, well, you know, I'm really a werewolf, or I'm really a dogman, you know, just being nice and friendly, nobody would believe it. I mean, there would be no way. And so it's one of these skeptical things that everybody has an idea if maybe that could be true. But, you know, we, with the media, with the Wolfman movies and all that stuff, I mean, we've known about it since we were kids, because that was the horror, the scary stuff that, you know, parents did. Just kind of interesting when you think about it. What about some other odd shape-shifting beings? You also talk about that in the book. Are there any that we left out? I really kind of like the...
Poenting is definitely a shapeshifter. There's no way you can make somebody become a cannibal and suddenly they start completely changing over, not just a human being staying a cannibal eater, but supposedly change all the way over into a Wendigo. In fact, that's actually in some of the Indian legends out there. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of the, about three of the stories in here, four of the stories in here of from the tales from the tribes that had it, like the baby and the Wendigo and stuff like that. So, and the girl and the Wendigo, stuff like that. So they actually would say, you know, they become a Wendigo. A spirit overtakes them is what it is, a spirit supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it overtakes them and they change literally all the way. So it's not just a, you know, a person, but actually something else. And then there are the monsters, like one of the, which is the owl witches thing. It's folklore, of the Seminole folklore, where they, a lot of, like I said, a lot of the Native American stuff. If I can pronounce it right, Stikini are sinister monsters from Seminole folklore. They're also known as man owls. These, so it's not just women, men. These, like the other two owl shifters I mentioned earlier, are evil witches who transform them to owl beings. By day, they resemble Seminole people, but by night, they vomit up their souls. Mm. Along with all their internal organs, and oh, that must be painful, become undead owl monsters that feed on human hearts.
Delicious. So. Yeah. Bet they don't cook them either before they eat them. Never mind. this is another chat room question. Is there a difference between the Wendigo and the Skinwalker?
Yes. Skinwalker is a person that shows us to... change, they do something vile to become a skinwalker, and so they can get all the magic and be able to shape-shift into different forms, all for evil, sadly. They're not the good witches there. There's the shamans and all the others that do that, but they're not. And that's a native thing. And the Wendigo is more of a carnivorous person, a cannibal. They eat things, kill people and eat them or whatever, and can change people. They bite them with a bite or whatever, and then they change them completely to they become looking like the Wendigo, and they of course start doing a lot of the cannibalistic stuff to until they infect somebody else. So that's two different types of creatures. It's not a witch, it's just like something making them that way. It's a monster. The skinwalker is a person that chooses to get magic evilly to get power that they wouldn't get, you know, if they were just a plain old shaman worship, you know, their own way, normally in the peaceful way. So that's the two differences.
I think we get a lot of lore from Native Americans, and because we hear about skinwalkers, we hear about windwalkers, we hear about, you know, all those things that do come from Native America, and some of, actually, shamanism is very close to paganism in some respects.
Yeah.
Because they're both a nature-based religion, if you want to call it religion. And, you know, deities, gods, goddesses, I mean, it just, yeah, I think we got a lot from them. But then, again, there was other countries that had the same kind of things, too.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, I think you should talk about anything going on in the near future, any events you're going to be at, or are you working on a new book?
I'm writing stories, basically, right now. I'm going to have to go back to writing fiction to finish a novel because I have the publisher to publish this. She actually accepted I wrote a kid's book so about fairies and Christmas. So, So that'll be interesting because mm-hmm. she's got people that can do, you know, artwork. I couldn't do that if you paid me.
No.
And next weekend, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, I'll be in Staunton, Virginia for the Virginia Bigfoot Convention.
Mm.
Selling my books there. So I thought, well, I got a cryptid in this book, but I also have Bigfoot stories in all my ghost books. And in fact, my Haunted Virginia Legend, Myth, and True Tales, that actually has a whole chapter on the Virginia Bigfoot, because believe it or not, Virginia has the oldest sightings of Bigfoot in the United States.
That's interesting.
I found that out. And I'm not from Virginia, so I'm originally from California. So say that. I found that. I thought that was really cool. I tell people now, I say, Washington may brag about the Bigfoot, but we had the oldest sightings. So
that's bragging rights for sure. So can you give out your website address and let everybody know what they can find there?
Pamela K. Kinney, PamelaKKinney.com. And they could put that in, or they can just put in H. It doesn't have a www before it, though. People have done it, and it'll still go to it. But PamelaKKinney.com.
And what can they find? They can find out about your books and things that events that you're going to and all that, or do you have a blog? Or
they go to that, it'll take you to the main page, and on the right side, you'll see appearances at a glance. That's all my appearances. I have a webmaster that does all that for me. I couldn't handle it. 2 or 3 years ago, I got her, and she's worth all the, she doesn't charge much, and she's worth all the money in the world. So okay. Makes it easy for me. And then on the middle of it, I have what's new I tell on. And if you look up above, you see different things. One says my fiction and different types, and the other one says nonfiction. And up there, you can look around there, different areas for the different books I have out. Because there's one that's that came out after the horror book, A Horror Addict's Guide to Life, too. I have an article on why women writers like to write about monsters and ghosts. So write about monsters and ghosts. And there's lots of cool things. And it's only in paperback by the horroraddicts.net, which is on Amazon. But it's a different section of nonfiction. It's not with the ghost books. They could put the werewolf with that. But since that was totally a different type of nonfiction, but they can find all that stuff. And shoot, you can find a lot of my books, most of them anyway, generally on Amazon.com. The werewolf book is everywhere. It's in BarnesandNoble.com. It's on IndieBound.org, which is for the independent bookstores. It's also Bookshop.org, Million, their website. Your local bookstore can order it. It's from Ingram, so they can order it if they want to. And of course, if you come to any of my events, buy it for me. I'll sign it. If you have any of my books or have it yourself already, bring it, and I'll be glad to sign it for you. So,
good. All right. Well, thank you for sharing the werewolves and the dogmen and all that tonight. It was really interesting. And yeah, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It was a really good time.
And we'll thank everybody for listening in as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2009.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.